The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, here's the thing. You don't have to listen to these commercials, including what I'm saying right now. Now, you might be asking, how the hell does that work? Well, all you need to do is to go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show and sign up for the ultimate edition of the podcast. If you do, you're going to get an entirely commercial-free version of the show presented exclusively on the Patreon page and on the Patreon app. Plus, you'll also get the Shadow Docket bonus shows and the Friday After Party with me and Kimberly. But wait, there's more. You're also going to get access to the Patreon app, the Bob Seska Show chat room, the comment sections, and a whole lot more. Again, that's patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
People ask me, were you must have been the class clown. And I say, no, I wasn't.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 11, 2024. This is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hello there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,178 of the Biden-Harris administration, 208 days into the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram at TheBobSeska. Twitter, BobSeska_go. Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. Did you write all that down? Well, good. Here's something else to write down. The Goth Ninjas. Yeah. It is Jody Hamilton. She is the showrunner of the Stephanie Miller Show. We established that last week. We're all set.
She's very tired.
Patreon.com.
All that running.
Patreon.com/Stephanie Miller Show. Also, sexyliberal.com for tour dates. Yep. Sexy Liberal Tour underway this weekend. Exciting. Mm-hmm. And also, David Ferguson, nothing exciting going on with him. He is from Itchy Dick's Bar.
You're telling me.
Also,
well, I wore my Itchy Dick's t-shirt last week, and then I'm getting my Spicy Jody shirt. Lonnie and I both bought Spicy Jody shirts, and they are arriving today.
Okay. Well, here's the thing with the Spicy Jody shirts. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm a dummy. You might want to hold on to the shirts that you get, because they might be collector's items. What I did when I set up the Spicy Jody shirt page, I accidentally clicked the button for print the design on the back of the shirt.
Which, ooh, I love it.
Oh, you do? Because I would hate that.
I think it's funny.
Yeah. Well, I fixed it. So now everyone who's ordered a Spicy Jody shirt up until about noon yesterday will get one with the design printed on the back. It's not intentional,
that's
I swear
funny.
To God. But now if you want to return your Spicy Jody shirt with the print on the back, it'll be replaced by a shirt with a print on the front.
When my sisters and I did Relativity 3, I don't know if either of you watched it, but
no.
We did a song called Mother Teresa. And so what we did was have Erin was in the Christopher Durang play where she played a nun. So I had a photograph of her and these other women, Alice Ghostly and I forget the other actor, that was perfect. And I made it cartoonish. And so we put that was on the back of the shirt. The front of the shirt said R3, and the back said Relativity 3 Mother Teresa Tribute Tour.
Okay.
On the back. So don't worry about backs.
Okay. Well, it is, I guess it is a common thing for shirt designs to end up on the back of the shirt, but I assure you I did not intend to do that. And people may have thought when they went to order the shirt that the print was on the front, even though it's not. That was a pure mistake. And plus, the thing is, with shirts that are printed with the design on the back, they only offer the one kind of shirt, the classic tee, over at the Tee Public Bob Seska Show Mall. And so that was how I discovered it, because I went to order a Spicy Jody shirt myself. And I was like, oh, this, it only has this one shirt available. I was like, oh, fuck. So apologies about that. Also, just so you know, in the Bob Seska Show Mall, we have Mactified Fortune gear now available.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have we ever figured out what that actually is?
Action replays in Mactified Fortune. They have a fashionable magnified tape.
They do action replays in Mactified Fortune.
There it is.
They have a fashionable magnified tape.
That's all. That's the clip.
It's fashionable.
It's fashionable. It's
in the latest outfits. Yeah. It's super fashionable.
In case you don't know, he was trying to talk about instant replays in sports. Right. And he came up with somehow.
Which has been a thing since when? Like the 60s?
I know. And he's talking about Mactified Fortune. And I think because he said Fortune, he wanted to retcon that into fashionable for some reason. So, and none of it makes any sense. A fashionable magnified tape?
Oh, those Manolo Blahniks, are they amazing on that tape?
Sexy, sexy, sexy. Oh my God, is that a Boeing jet crashing into our show at this point? Is that what's going on?
No, we have all the windows open because it's going to be a million degrees today.
Oh yeah, right.
So all right. That was a helicopter, probably a cop shop, but I'm not 100% sure.
All right, so there's that in the Bob Seska Show Mall. Just go to bobseska.com, click the link for new store just under my head, right at the top of the page. Meantime, just a quick reminder, I am going to be at Busboys and Poets this Sunday, April 14th. For the book event in honor of That Time We Ate Our Feelings, the brand new cookbook by Lisa Lucas and Debriana Mancini, we're going to be chit-chatting. It's a conversation with me and those two, and we're going to talk about all kinds of fun things, what it was like to do the Corona Kitchen Show during the pandemic, and the inspiration behind the cookbook, and all sorts of stuff, fun things, and that's happening again at Busboys and Poets in Tacoma, Washington, D.C., Sunday, April 14th at 5 p.m. For more information, go to busboysandpoets.com/events. Got it? So many things to remember. We've got lots of homework for everyone listening to the show. We're podcasters who hand out homework for our listeners. So let's talk about my favorite thing in the world, my favorite new streaming show, the rapid decline of Truth Central on the... Oh, there. This is the sound of the stock market crashing. Is it done? Is it done? Still going down. Still declining, and it couldn't happen to a better guy, right? With Truth
Central.
Yes. This is the guy.
I'm led to believe that, like, he had some people that were, like, bootstrapped in, that, like, they couldn't sell their shares for 6 months, and they're, like, begging a judge to set them free so they can sell the shares before they're, like, of negative value and start eating
until
the rest of their
money.
When
they become penny stock, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's rapidly on its way to becoming a penny stock.
Didn't it open at, like, $70 a share, and it's under... It's certainly under 40.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's
that's
lost
an insane amount.
It's lost all of its gains since the IPO. It's gone. It's been erased. So its lowest point today was $32. And but right now, it seems to be dead cat bouncing right now.
It does that because people will buy when it's lower.
Yeah, yeah. It's at $33 right now, but it's still down for the day. It's down 2.56% for the day. I had a big stogie in my mouth, just laughing and laughing.
I guess the stock fell even further when they realized there was no chance O.J. Simpson was going to buy an account.
I'm still laughing, sorry. That's just me. Every morning, every time I log on and look at the NASDAQ, look at the stock value of DJT.
And that's even funnier because they did DJT. So it's like, you know, it's Donald Trump. And so that's what's even funnier about it.
Yes, yes, right. His stupid initials right next to the failing stock price. That is one of the greatest things about this whole saga is, you know, and it's a good thing to wake up in the morning and have something positive to look at. And, you know, if you don't have a favorite TV show that you're following along, that you're binging, try this one. All you got to do is go to Google and type in NASDAQ: DJT. Don't write the word colon, because that'll give you a different result. But the actual punctuation you want to type in there. And then follow and enjoy. Get a beverage, some popcorn, because this is something joyful that we can all look at. But
it is a full-on Schadenfreude Sunday.
Yes, of course. I mean, the thing is, he is running to be the steward of the economy. I was screaming about this on John Fugelsang's show last night, that this guy wants to be in charge of the economy. And there are millions of people out there going, yeah, this is the guy. This is the guy I want in charge of the economy. The guy who hasn't run a successful business in his entire life, who's been adjudicated a business fraud, who goes on trial next week for a separate instance of business fraud. Who presided over a manufacturing recession and a deep economy-wide recession, a guy who lost 3 million jobs, the worst jobs record of any president. And that's the guy whose social media company went public and has proceeded to just shit the bed every day since that IPO. Incredible that there are stupid, stupid people out there who are like, yes, that's our guy. Dummies.
It's sad.
Yes.
It's nice of him to do it like right in the fiscal year, you know, so that like we can point at it and laugh and just be like, okay, dude, you're the guy that wants to run the economy, but you can't make money with your own social media company and your own walled garden of subscribers. Like, forget it. The only way he makes money is people donating.
Right. But wait, there's still more. The headline that was published yesterday says, Trump no longer on Bloomberg Billionaires Index after Troth Central stock plummets.
Oh, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
That's you know, he woke up furious today. Yeah. Like there are bottles of ketchup that are quivering, like just terrified and traumatized. At Mar-a-Lago today, they're just like sitting there on the side tables like, oh, God, please, not me. Not today.
Well, he goes, they're in the cabinet. And when he opens the cabinet to reach in to grab one of the ketchup bottles, they all sort of back away into the corner, into the deepest corner of the cabinet, just cowering and shaking because they know what's next.
He's probably really, really upset because Jeff Bezos' ex-wife is on the list.
Oh, wow.
And she wants to give all her money away. I mean, she's given $1 billion already to charities. She's amazing.
Oh, good for her. Yeah. That's excellent.
I think that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's a lovely, lovely female person. And she helped build Amazon with her ex-husband. So that's why she got a piece of that. And whatever they decided with their marriage divorce, probably just a piece of Amazon. Mm. But a piece of Amazon is worth billions of dollars. And she's earned it. It's not like she just married into it. She earned that money. But I like her because she keeps donating $1 billion a year, practically. Mm-hmm. And no other billionaires are donating that kind of money. I mean, they donate money, most of them, but not that kind of change.
Right. Well, I'm sure Donald Trump is interested in doing something like that, except his idea of donating money is buying life-size portraits of himself.
Right.
That's what he does with his charity.
And he has until when to come up with the bond still, because his daughter is still not loaning him that fucking money.
That's right. 22. I think it's April 22 when that happens.
She's got it. She and her hubby have that change. They just know he won't pay it back. So
what about Mr. Hanke's money?
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Hanke's money is being rejected. Yeah, it's not happening because first of all, they failed to provide certain information about.
And they're not New York based. I mean, there's a lot. Right.
Yeah. So there's going to be a hearing on the 22nd about this, when it'll be determined whether or not they're going to try to collect the whole amount. Because the other thing they did is they lied. I think Donald Trump lied. I think Donald Trump's team lied or maybe withheld important information. When they were appealing the size of the bond, they didn't reveal that Mr. Hanke was prepared to pay the entire, whatever it was, $500 million bond. They withheld that information from the court. So that is the other thing that's causing that particular bond payer, Mr. Hanke, to be Thank you, Mr. Hanky. To be
you're
stricken
never gonna
from
get
me.
Tired of that, are you, Bob?
No, of course not. It's a Christmas poop. Are you kidding me?
Hey-ho, you yeah. guys People... smell so pretty, just like flowers.
What did you say, David?
Oh, just a Christmas poop who's constantly high. We seem to forget that part.
Is the Christmas poo constantly high?
No. Towelie is high.
Towelie is high. Okay.
Towelie is high. Hey, Mr. Hanky is just lovely, even though he spreads poo everywhere. Now, Mr. Hanky's a very nice piece of shit. No, it's Towelie who is always wasted.
That's right. And in fact, David, you were corrected on the Patreon page for mistaking Mr. Towelie.
Towelie? I have gotten them confused because I don't remember Towelie ever talking.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he did, but he was really stoned and his eyes were always pink.
Okay.
There are so many things about South Park that I need to catch up on. I didn't see the whole Towelie arc. I'm familiar with Mr. Hanky, obviously, as you can tell from the last 2 or 3 weeks of shows, but Towelie is one that I'm not entirely familiar
with. Oh, you'll love Towelie. Yeah, he's funny. Yeah.
Okay, let's go from the Christmas poo to completely inappropriate segue to the Arizona abortion law. There's no delicate way to go from
poo.
These
that
two.
Law is poo.
Yes. It's interesting to watch the Republicans run terrified away from this thing, which is a pure political calculation on their behalf. This is like the Republicans proposing this border security legislation, Joe Biden agreeing to sign it, and then Donald Trump saying, oh, wait, no, it's an election year. We need the issue. So the emergency can wait because Donald Trump needs to escape prison. That's why that all happened. So obviously, this is a party that's geared toward political considerations and not actually any sort of urgency regarding emergencies or anything like that. So it's an 1864 law that has been sitting around. That was when Arizona was a territory. And then I think it was codified as state law something like 50 years later. But still, it's ancient. It's archaic.
This is a law from when women couldn't vote and people were human chattel slaves.
Yes.
And I just, I don't know. It's funny. I like watching Carrie Lake just because she's like, cross the legs, give him the calves and the heel, and then go, I'm really thrilled that we have a law on the books already, a good law for, you know, and you expect her to go, you know, Carrie Lake, Action 10 News, because she like never stops with the TV voice. Like,
right. This is a couple of years ago. This is Carrie Lake talking
2022.
Yeah. This is Carrie Lake talking about the Dobbs decision and the would-be Arizona law that would go into effect if Roe is repealed. Let's listen to this.
Obviously, I think Roe v. Wade should be overturned. And I think the Supreme Court, I have a good feeling that they're going to do the right thing this time. And again, I'll echo what Steve just said. We have a great law on the books right now. If that happens, we will be a state where we will not be taking the lives of our unborn anymore.
Yeah.
Carrie Lake, Action 10 News.
They caught the car is what's happened here. They've got the car in their mouths, the bumper of the car, and they're like, oh, fuck, we're being dragged along now. Mm-hmm. Like, they got finally what they wanted, and they're like, oh, shit, this is exactly what we wanted. So now what she's saying is she said, I oppose today's ruling. I'm calling on Katie Hobbs and the state legislature to come up with an immediate common sense solution that Arizonans can support.
So wait. So she's
Wait, bitch, I thought you were the governor.
Also that, but she's relying on the Democratic governor and a 50-50 legislature to do that, whereas the Democrats did bring up that. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans in the legislature, I've been up since 1:30. The legislature... the Republicans stopped it. So even they couldn't do it because they don't have a Democratic majority. Hi, Arizona, vote them in.
Exactly right. When the rubber hits the road, the Republicans want this law to be in effect. Jeff Tiedrich, the great Jeff Tiedrich, tweeted yesterday. He said, Republicans, quote, abortion laws should be left up to the states. Then Arizona Supreme Court outlaws abortion. Republicans, we didn't mean an election year.
That's the truth.
That's absolutely the truth. So let's listen to
what
happened.
Did you see the news conference, though, with Arizona's governor and
Yeah, I saw Katie Hobbs on Lawrence O'Donnell the night that this was enacted by the
I saw her on something else.
With like a line of five women.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like the female Duran Duran of rage. I mean, they were all like, one woman was so angry that she could just, she kept fidgeting.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like she was like, her eyes would start to bulge for a second and she'd be like, check the eyes, you're on camera.
Yeah.
And then her mouth would start to go and her jaw would work. And I was like, this, Republicans, you have really, really, really stuck your dick in the meat grinder on this one.
Nice.
Because, well, yeah, they don't realize that the sooner, the closer the actual election gets here, the more women that don't know what's happening, because there are women in Texas that mm-hmm. think that there are exceptions.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm on record for saying, fuck exceptions. You should be able to get a fucking abortion.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So exceptions don't make that. That's just, I hate that. I hate it. But even Texas doesn't do that, nor does the only thing Arizona does is for the life of the mother, which, how do you define that?
I know that's a bullshit exception. And you know why? Because the fact that all other abortions are illegal and there's so much scrutiny against doctors who maybe once
Idaho
performed abortions.
Have any anymore.
Yeah, well, no doctors are going to perform life-saving abortions in that state.
No.
None of them, because they don't want to be intimidated. They don't want to be harassed. They don't want to be investigated by state law. And I know Katie Hobbs has pledged not to enforce this law. They're going to be scrutinized. They're going to be watched. They're going to be observed by the wide range of zealots in many of these states. So, yeah, no, the exception is not even going to be a thing. That's not even going to apply. This is an across-the-board abortion ban. There are ostensibly no exceptions for this. And plus, it criminalizes abortion. There are criminal penalties for aiding and abetting an abortion in Arizona now.
Well, I mean, you know, Bob, as we all know, it's really not that hard to get a bus ticket and just go somewhere else.
Oh, yes. Let's talk.
I know. Just take a vacation. God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Women, you're also his shrill and hysterical.
Let's talk about that Larry Kudlow clip, Jody, because Larry Kudlow talked to a couple of men. These are just like three old white
Mark
guys.
Mark Simone. Yeah. I mean, it was like, fuck you, you motherfucking fucking fuck fuck.
Yeah. Mark Simone.
Your fucking frat boy haircut, dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, it wasn't. It was, he stole Frank Luntz's toupee. That's what it is. It's the same toupee. It's like he walked into the toupee store and said, yes, give me the Frank Luntz. And that's what he got. It's also known as the Fisher Price Man toupee. Because it looks like a Fisher Price Man's hair. Okay, let's listen into the Larry Kudlow program on whatever it is, Fox Business, is it? Here we go.
Greenland is a strategic place up there, and they got a lot of valuable minerals. I don't want to predict an outcome. I'm just saying the president, who knows a thing or two about buying real estate, wants to take a look. Low interest rates, inflation, virtually no inflation, Chuck Todd. So I actually think it's a pretty good story. And again, let me echo my theme. Let's not be afraid of some optimism.
Okay. Echo what my dealer said. Yeah. Okay. That'll be $150, Larry, and I'm not waiting for the money this time.
All right, here's the actual clip. We're done fucking around. Here we go.
I mean, this is tricky business. How does this play out?
It hurts Trump for a few days, and then people start to realize this is not the worst thing in the world.
He may come out.
Oh my God. Oh my fucking God.
Please choke to death on a toilet mint, dude.
No.
And not a fresh toilet mint. I want this guy to choke to death on an old
urinal cake.
Mint.
Yeah. Urinal cake.
Oh, God. All right, let's try this again.
I mean, this is tricky business. How does this play out?
It hurts Trump for a few days, and then people start to realize this is not the worst thing in the world.
He may come out. He'll come out against us. Oh, no, maybe he won't. But remember, his point was the legend.
We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to talk about Trump's
maybe he won't.
Of this.
Do you ever think about shit? Like, really? Think about it. Because shit is tricky, man. It's tricky fucking business.
Good God.
These
talk about tone deaf.
White dickheads. It's almost like the richer they are, the worse the hair gets. Like, because no one is going to be like, sir.
They don't have any gays.
Permission to speak freely.
Yeah.
No one believes that hair anymore.
I'm sitting here as a guy whose hair is thinning a little bit, but I swear to God, if I ever wake up in the morning and I pick up that Frank Luntz Fisher Price Man toupee and stick it on my head and go, hey, it looks pretty good. Please karate chop me in the neck and destroy the toupee in the process.
The Mr. Tudball toupee. We'll just get you that one.
That's the Mr. Tudball toupee. Oh, my God. That is perfect. That is so funny. Oh, God. All right. Let's get back to
it. But it's like, did you see the guy that, remember the Messenger, the website that they were going to, like, it's the brilliant business idea for 2007 that they launched in 2023.
Yeah.
And it bought like 93,000 square feet of Manhattan real estate. And it just, the whole thing went, the guy that owns it is like 93 years old. And he's got like shoe polish colored hair, like brown shoe polish.
Is his name Rudy Giuliani? Is that?
No, his name is Jimmy Finkelstein.
Oh, you just made that up, didn't you? That's a made-up name.
I swear to God. I swear to God, Google it.
Okay.
Oh, it's like the main picture that comes up when you Google the guy. It's just like, it's ghastly looking.
Yeah.
Like a Coen Brothers movie's vision of an Undertaker from the Old West.
See, I'm picturing the guy from Goodfellas with the toupee who has the commercial where he jumps in the pool with his toupee on. And he ends up getting.
I don't know what
you're talking about. No, okay, never mind. All right. Hey, you know what? In all seriousness, let's get back to this Larry Kudlow tape because we haven't even gotten to the horrible, horrible part yet.
He didn't mention the court, so this is tricky. State Supreme Court, does that qualify as a state decision?
Yeah, that's nice. What it is to be pro-choice. Yeah. The states can decide. If you had to travel to another state to get an abortion, it's not the worst thing in the world. Hopefully, this is a very rare occurrence in your life. Once in your life, maybe you would do it. Buying a bus ticket to go somewhere to get it is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it's from someone who's probably never been on a bus before. And by the way,
you just throw myself, impale myself on a spiked fence real quick.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, what if that guy had to drive to a different state to buy a shitty toupee? I bet he'd be complaining.
The thing is wealthy women will always have the money to, if need be, get out of the country.
Yes.
To have this procedure done because they're wealthy and they can get on a plane, whether it's commercial or otherwise, and leave, at least until we're in the Handmaid's Tale, and then that'll be different. But at the moment, rich white ladies in general can afford it. People that work day to day, paycheck to paycheck, don't have time to drive or get on a bus or do for 200, 300, 1,000 miles because their state doesn't have it. It's illegal. And they have to take time off. And some states still have, you need a 3-day wait and you got to come back. I mean, that kind of bullshit's sort of still there in some states that haven't completely overturned it. Mm-hmm. So it's these fuckers, man, they just don't care.
No.
And they want women to get barefoot and pregnant and not be able to be, I don't know, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
They want
us to be poor and pregnant and dependent on men. I mean, when I was, because I was the 10th of my dad's 11 children, he had 8 daughters.
Yeah.
So I was the 7th daughter. So by the time he got to me, he's like, yeah, you're going to have to fend for yourself. he taught me how to, you know, balance a checkbook, those kind of, then you're going to have to get a job so that you don't have to rely on a man. Mm-hmm. And that was part of my dad's teaching of his children. Thankfully, my older sister helped him with that. But my oldest sister, who's friends with Kimberly online. Anyway.
That's right.
Yeah, Kathleen, I love her. But it's just, it's insane that these assholes, it's like, dude, my view is, all boys get vasectomies until they're ready to be fathers.
I mean, why not?
They're reversible. They're reversible.
Sure. I mean, we're going this far. We're saying that state and federal government has control over your internal organs.
Yeah.
And what happens
inside of them.
So, boys,
when you're born, if you get circumcised after that, which I think is barbaric, but whatever, after that, then you get your vasectomy. You won't feel it either.
Yeah.
You'll be a little more out of it. You won't be awake because you're awake for the circumcision. Sorry, guys. And so, we'll give you a vasectomy. And when you decide you want to be a father, that's when you're allowed to get it reversed. But you're going to have to sign a lot of paperwork. We're going to have to know your financials, that we know you can afford to have said child. And we need to know that the person that would like to be giving birth to said child is consenting on that.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to give you a transanal ultrasound just for good measure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, let's check out the prostate with an ultrasound machine. Let's do that.
I mean, we've done this a lot. We've done this exercise a lot where we're like, okay, what would happen if things were reversed? If it was men who got pregnant and wanted reproductive rights. I mean, can you imagine the reaction from the Joe Rogan universe of bro libertarians if there was a law like the Arizona law that affected men? I mean, remember how they behaved when it came to taking a fucking shot, like little boys in the fucking pediatrician's office, terrified of needles is what that came down to. My body, my choice, and all that shit. And they screamed about it. They engaged in protests about it. I mean, and that's just getting a vaccine for the greater fucking good. Pregnancy is a potentially deadly medical condition. That's how Dr. Leah Torres has defined it on this show on numerous occasions. And so therefore, women need to have control over their own reproduction in order to prevent death in some cases, in order to, I mean, even if there isn't death on the line, even if this isn't a matter of health, it's just a matter of personal control over what happens inside your body. Personal control over your own reproduction.
It's family planning.
You know, JoJo from Jurors, the great JoJo from Jurors tweeted this. Yeah, because Trump and Lindsey Graham were apparently fighting about this ruling.
Oh, no, not Lindsey.
And so JoJo wrote, Lindsey Graham and...
really good.
Yeah. JoJo wrote, Lindsey Graham and Donald Trump are fighting because they can't agree on how much control white men like them should have over women's bodies. That's right. I mean, that's the view of this from 30,000 feet. That this is ultimately about white guys like Larry Kudlow and whoever stole Frank Luntz's toupee and Lindsey Graham and Donald Trump arguing among themselves. It's like you can see the same group of white men with their middle 19th century outfits and giant sideburns talking about the same thing with regard to enslaved people. Yes. It's the same kind of patriarchal, white, powerful, male control over anyone who isn't those things, the white, patriarchal male. Mm-hmm. So if you're not that, you know, we're going to control you is essentially what's being said here. So let's talk about Donald Trump's culpability. In fact, you know what? We got to take a break. We're late for a break. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the Donald Trump aspect of this, which is, to me, the headline of this story beyond the absolute draconian nature of it. I would say the subhead of this has to be that this Arizona law is entirely because of Donald Trump. Do not let him wiggle out of this. Do not give him a fucking millimeter of leeway on this issue. He is responsible for this Arizona law. He is responsible for the death and anguish that is going to take place as a consequence of this and all the other state laws that have gone into effect since Dobbs. So we just got to be entirely clear about that. We'll get into that a little more here in just a second. Back with more show right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Won't you come with me too?
hope you turned it up loud. But I don't think you need to, right? Because this is a brand new band to the show. This is called Basically Nancy from Savannah, Georgia. Yeah.
Oh, hey, yeah. Guys.
And a song called Caroline.
Way from the opposite end of the state.
Yeah. This band features Elena Bowen, who you might know as Bo Bowen's daughter. Bo Bowen from the Allegedly podcast with Ryan Schmidt. Amazing lawyers in Savannah, Georgia. Yeah, and this is Bo's daughter as the singer and bass player in this project, which is amazing. I think they recorded this at that great recording studio up in Chicago that was featured on Sonic Highways, the Dave Grohl documentary series about great recording studios. And so the guy who runs that studio up there, and the name of the studio is slipping my mind, the name of the producer is slipping my mind, but he runs one of the most legendary recording studios in the Midwest, and it was featured on Sonic Highways. And that was a huge vote of confidence in Basically Nancy, this incredible band out of Georgia. So we're welcoming them to the show with open arms. Can't wait to play more of this stuff. Yeah, loud. I love it. And by the way, you can go to bobsesca.com, find this episode dated 4/11/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you can find links to support all the independent recording artists on today's show. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so Donald Trump is responsible for this Arizona law. It says here in Chief Justice John Lopez's opinion, it says, absent the federal constitutional abortion right, and because the 15-week abortion ban does not independently authorize abortion, there is no provision in federal or state law prohibiting the 1864 abortion ban's operation. Accordingly, the 1864 ban is now enforceable. So there it is. The fact that Donald Trump appointed Gorsuch, Barrett, Kavanaugh, who all voted with the other conservative justices to overturn Roe, opened the door for the 1864 abortion law in Arizona. There's a direct connection between Donald Trump to the Supreme Court to the Arizona abortion ban. And this guy has the fucking nerve to stand in front of a microphone the other day and say, I'm not against this. And for states, let leave it up to the states, which of course is completely contradictory. Because
that ghastly video, it was so bad. He's like, well, the thing where he's like talking straight to the camera and he's like, I am the number one reason that Roe is overturned.
Right.
And his fucking face looks even more shit colored and his ears look even pinker. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously lying. And what's pissing me off now is the political press is just repeating that lie without criticism. Mm-hmm. The headlines, even from PBS NewsHour. They're like, here, Donald Trump says that he's not in support of a national ban. Oh, yeah, really? I can list 1,000 things that indicate that he is in favor of a national ban. You can start with Project 2025 and do the list from there, which calls for a national ban. He's going to sign a national ban.
Of course. If it was put on his desk, he would sign it in a New York minute.
Of course he would. And you know how we know this? Again, it's because of the immigration precedent. This is all about make sure Donald Trump wins this election. Mm-hmm. And we'll say whatever we need to say to wiggle out of some of these things that will affect Donald Trump's ability to win this election. So if it comes to immigration and this border security legislation, well, we can get rid of it because Donald Trump needs to be able to scream about the issue to scare people with that. So we can't have any border security legislation because Donald Trump needs the politics of it. So obviously the same consideration is happening with abortion. Oh yeah. Okay. You know what we're going to do? We're going to lie to all of the gomers and dumb shits and say that, oh, we don't support a national ban. Oh, this Arizona law. Oh, how horrendous. I hope Katie Hobbs does something to fix this.
Yeah, I hope the Democrats save us from ourselves.
Right. So it comes down to them. And of course,
the Arizona Democrats tell us what to do with this fucking car now that we have this bumper in our mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And back to the Arizona legislature. We mentioned this in the first segment today, but this is what was going on in the Arizona state legislature. I think this was the Arizona House yesterday.
Do not offer. Your address is a liar.
He does not care about the women who will die because of this horrific ban.
I absolutely not. Do not listen to Macris. That is a lie. Macris is absolutely untruthful. This is not true. Not true.
Yeah, it's, that was a Republican was trying to do a, like a press conference on the floor of the Arizona House. And those were Democrats trying to disrupt that, because what they tried to do.
She was so angry, man. She was so angry. You could hear it.
Well, they wanted to introduce a repeal of this law and call the Republicans bluff on this thing. And of course, the Republicans fell right into that trap. They blocked it by ending the session prematurely. So, oh, whoops, shit. Oh, fuck. We're going to be put on the spot here. Run away.
Republican men's theme song. No, it happens to everybody, guys. Really, it's not a big deal.
So they ran away like a bunch of fucking cowards. You know why? Because
like Robin.
Yes, exactly. Brave Sir Robin ran away. And so the reason is because they're stuck. They're stuck in a trash compactor of their own making. On one side, it's voters who are pissed off about the overturning of Roe. On the other side, it's evangelical Christians who are all in on the cult of the unborn baby. And Republicans are now trying to position themselves delicately between those two things, trying to appeal to both sides, and in fact, pissing off both sides in the process, because everyone knows what they're really made of. I mean, Donald Trump is, we don't need to go into a list of metaphors about his lying, but again, anyone who believes what he's been saying about abortion since whatever it was, since he released that horrendous dark video from Mar-a-Lago, I mean, it's obvious that he's bullshitting. He's scared. It's
well, he said it to Chris Matthews.
Yeah. Well, he said, yeah, he said it's there should be penalties for people who have abortions. Right. But
this is what happens when you live and die by bullshit and you're talking out of your ass and trying to finagle things and lawyer things. And, because it's like he doesn't, at the bottom of it all, the only he doesn't really have an opinion one way or the other about abortion unless like Ivanka needs one, you know? And it's like, that's never like, I just.
Well, I'm almost positive that there was some sort of internal poll that Donald Trump saw.
No, he's an opportunist.
That's
the thing, is he saw that it might hurt him politically and was like, well, we'll push it back to the States.
Well, I think he saw something more than that. I think he saw that it's going to hurt him politically, but by a lot. Like, you mean I'm going to lose North Carolina and maybe Florida and Arizona because of this? Oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. I better put out a video where, you know what? You evangelicals are going to be pissed off. But I got to say this because I got to win. And don't worry, I'll pass a national ban as soon as I'm in office. That's the deal.
He's got to do all of that. He's got to do. He's got to. It's like, dude, you are fucked.
I think he knows that he's fucked in Florida. He might be fucked in North Carolina, Arizona as well. I mean, Florida, this constitutional amendment that's going to be on the ballot is going to drive out a lot of pro-choice voters on top of the cannabis legislation that's going to be, or the cannabis amendment that's going to be on the ballot too. So that's something that's probably got the Republicans running scared. That's probably one of the main motivating factors behind their reaction to this Arizona law and everything else that's circulating around it. We're going to talk about Molly Jong-Fast here in a second and her appearance on MSNBC the other day where she just let Jim Vandehye have it, which is fucking great. But this is a great example of what Molly Jong-Fast was talking about in that clip, that what the both sides thing does, what the framing of Trump does, is it actually helps the autocrat. So like what I was saying about PBS NewsHour, they posted this thing where it's like Donald Trump supports or doesn't support a national abortion, or says he doesn't support a national abortion ban. But that normalizes Donald Trump. That normalizes his position on these things. Make it seem like he's reasonable, even though we know that he's a fucking liar. And we know that, you know, everything circulating around his campaign and what his next term would end up being indicates that he would be just as draconian as Arizona in terms of restricting abortion access. We know that because he knows where his bread is buttered, so to speak.
This was something that when I was still a journalist, it drove me crazy. Editors blunt everything. They don't want to come out, you know, and call Gavin McInnes a racist. This was a particular bone I had to pick with my old editor because I called him a hipster racist in quotes in a headline. And I'm like, no, the guy's a fucking racist.
Yeah.
And people didn't call that out until it was like the Proud Boys were like already rolling in a thing.
Yeah.
Like, and it's what makes me crazy. And like, they need to call Trump a racist. They need to say Trump, you know, backs racist policy. Trump backs misogynist laws.
Yeah.
Like, it's just because it's like the one smart kid is carrying a whole class when they round the grades up, you know, like
yeah.
when they round it down to make it everybody even, mm-hmm. when they round Joe Biden down and round Trump up, it's always to his advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
Make him
right.
look more normal.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still trying to operate in this old framework mm-hmm. where half of the government is not just pure evil incarnate
yeah.
that want to keep, you know, black and brown and poor women like in the Middle Ages
mm-hmm.
and all of us without health care.
Oh, no, they're going for all women, not just poor women.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just they're going to start with poor women first.
Right. And that's, you know what? That's the consideration with IVF. And you know why they want to protect IVF? Because it's wealthier families mm-hmm. who get IVF. Mm-hmm. The poorer people who are the lower income people who need abortion services, no, they're fucked. But if you've got some money to afford IVF, that's okay. It doesn't matter how many quote-unquote babies
embryos
you destroy.
Embryos you get rid of, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's fine because you're kind of one of us. You've got money, you wealthier white people.
Yeah, but wealthy white ladies,
yeah,
they're
right,
coming
right.
for you too. Did you not read or see The Handmaid's Tale? And if not, watch it. It's a documentary now.
Yeah. Well, here's the PBS NewsHour thing I keep referencing. I haven't had this quote in front of me until now, but it says here, it's got the video of Donald Trump on the tarmac doing his version of chopper talk. And he, you know, it's talking about this. And he said, and the tweet says, former President Donald Trump said Wednesday that an Arizona law banning nearly all abortions is too extreme and that he would not sign a national abortion ban if he was in the White House and Congress approved one. So on the surface, that's like,
nice.
Okay, well, that seems innocuous. I mean, they're just saying what he said, but that favors the autocrat. As Molly Jongfast said, you know what, let's listen to Molly Jongfast and continue to talk about this angle on everything.
Jim, I have a question about your framing here. You're sort of implying that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the same. And we both know that Donald Trump tells his followers a lot of lies. He encouraged the insurrection on January 6th. He told them it would be wild. Yeah. He constantly undermines both democracy and the rule of law. And so Joe Biden, while wanting to give people health care and forgive student debt, may be quite annoying to a lot of affluent Republicans. He is not really on the same level as Trump and his wildly anti-democratic. And I also would add just the supposition here that Trump is somehow not the cause of a lot of this. I mean, we have never had a presidential candidate who has made such a mockery of democracy. I mean, even the most staunch Republican, even Richard Nixon, you know, said, okay, it's enough. So I'm just curious how you square that with the idea that this is business as usual.
Yeah, first off, I want to correct the premise. Like, nowhere in the piece do I say that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are identical or that they're both doing the same thing. I don't really talk about them that much. I talk much more about the country.
But you understand that conventional framing elevates an autocrat.
There's no doubt that what Donald Trump has done, particularly in tearing at democracy and tearing at norms, and I think norms, customs, democracy, freedom, vote, like those things so fundamentally matter. And there's no doubt that that is in a different category than Biden. My point is, take Trump away. You're still going to have a version of this. It's not like...
Yeah, first of all, Molly Jongfast nailed it. The conventional framing elevates the autocrat, right? Applying norms to someone as destructive as Donald Trump elevates Donald Trump. Essentially, and I tweeted this out in reaction to this video, I said, Molly is bravely calling out something that's endemic to the entire political press, mm-hmm. normalizing Trump's tyranny through generic horse race coverage. Just two sides battling it out, etc. It's like covering a planet-killing meteor by discussing how it's going to affect the stock market. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, the planet-killing meteor is coming to the Earth, and geez, the Dow is down 12 points today. Because of the meteor coming to destroy the entire planet and everything on it. And that's the conventional framing that I'm talking about that makes it seem like giant planet-killing meteor is normal. It's like any other thing, like market conditions, like, oh, shit, they had a bad third quarter of estimated revenue. And so therefore, their stock price went down. It's not...
The thing is, COVID really was a giant planet-killing meteor.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they fucking broke down along tribal lines on that, and that's when I knew that we were doomed and hopeless.
Right, right.
You know, they're like, we're not going to make it, are we? It just, oh, God.
Well, here's John Bolton, I mean, he actually worked for Donald Trump for a short period of time in the Trump administration.
See, once again, two itchy dicks, one room, it was doomed.
Right. Separately,
John Bolton is one of the itchiest dicks.
He that's true.
Like the itchy dick that actually leaves a trail of dandruff.
I always, every time John Bolton's in the news, I have to post that gif of him on Fox and Friends where he's on that, I don't know, that, it's like a thing that you stand on that you can spin around on. And Steve Doocy is like twisting him on this thing as they're doing the twist. And John Bolton's like laughing with his mouth open and his arms are flailing all around. It's the weirdest fucking gif you've ever seen in your life. Go to my Twitter feed and check it out. But, in a separate interview, John Bolton said that in the previous two elections, he wrote in Dick Cheney as his vote.
Yeah.
And he intends to do it again this time. Here's here's Nicole Wallace destroying John Bolton yesterday. But John Bolton, this is the point of what we're trying to get at, is that John Bolton essentially draws an equivalence between Joe Biden is old and all the Donald Trump things. So these are on the same level.
And
as being,
isn't Cheney older than both of them?
Yes, I think so. Yes, he is, and in worse health.
Carbon dating would indicate yes.
And he had a heart transplant, 20 years ago or something?
Two.
But thank you.
Let's listen to John Bolton talking about this, because this is absurd. And by the way, there are millions of voters who actually agree with John Bolton.
Well, my view is that neither Biden nor Trump are fit to be president.
Is Joe Biden corrupt and catastrophic for U.S. world foreign policy?
No, but he's not on duty 24/7, and that's a potential.
Well, what's worse, someone who in your view isn't on duty or someone who's catastrophic and corrupt?
Yeah.
If neither one passes the bar to be fit, there's no comparison. Neither one of them should
Biden.
Be president.
Who are you going to vote for?
Oh, God.
Biden,
he sounds
is
like
in
an
great
AI.
Shape.
Yeah.
No, seriously, he sounds like an AI that's programmed to spew these kind of talking points. Like, hear it. Chat GPT, do me a, you know, in John Bolton's surprisingly high voice, give me bland, both parties are equally bad talking points. Go.
Yeah.
You know.
Remember what I said, I don't know, I think it was 3-4 years ago, when Elizabeth Warren was running in the primaries, and I said that, you know, the Pocahontas thing, the press is going to elevate that to the same level of outrage as all of the Trump things. That's exactly what they're doing with Joe Biden. Joe Biden is old, which, by the way, that's a rumor that has essentially been debunked as far as the effects of his age. Yes, he's old, and we know that he's old. But as far as him being a part-time president or whatever the fuck John Bolton is saying here, that's nonsense. That has been debunked. We have seen numerous reports indicating that Joe Biden is fully engaged in the White House. There is no impact of his age upon his ability to do the job, but he's
Donald
taking-
was never there.
Yeah.
And so fuck all of these motherfuckers. And by the way, Dick Cheney, as he's saying, oh, if he's not physically fit, Dick Cheney is not physically fit.
No, absolutely not. But I mean, Joe Biden is old, same level as God, countless. I mean, there are
kids in cages. Yeah. I mean, 30,000
lies.
Things are not equivalent.
Yeah. I mean, just the entire list of things, and it makes them equally disqualified to be president. So he's not going to let's get back, because Nicole Wallace does a much better job than we are in terms of just ripping apart John Bolton. She is one of the best of the best.
Disingenuous. Yeah. This is one of the things that's happening to Republicans this year is that they're, you know, when they're getting called out on the specifics.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, actually, because they won't come out and say, we want to impoverish women and control their destiny and keep them from coming to our CEO level.
Right.
You can't come out and say that. You talk about the rights of the unborn. It's the old Atwater thing.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, they've left themselves nowhere else to go to actually, like, in the Atwater, just, like, screaming the N-word again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's like he's trying to come out and say that he'll just never support a Democrat because he's too mulishly stubborn to admit that his former party, or whether he's a Republican anymore, I don't know, is an actual toxic chemical that will kill people.
Well, because John Bolton wasn't going to vote for Trump in the first place, he should be voting for Joe Biden, but he's voting for a third party candidate. He's going to write in a candidate. It's not even a third party candidate. He's just going to write in Mickey Mouse or Dick Cheney or whoever the fuck he's going to put into the slot. The thing is, that actually takes a vote away from Joe Biden, or it makes it one vote more likely Donald Trump will win. I think that's a better way to frame it.
So
he's just the consummate itchy dick, though. That's just like what they do.
Really, really is.
I have to make a point, and I'm the main character, and it's supremely important that I fucking just shoot my foot in order to make a point. And
All right. Well, here's more of John Bolton and Nicole Wallace.
Write in somebody like I did in 2020.
You're not alarmed enough. I mean, Donald Trump hasn't ruled out pursuing you. All the things you say, if we're to believe them at good faith, why wouldn't you vote against him?
Well, I am going to vote against him. I'm going to vote for somebody other than Donald Trump.
In defense of this network, you've been 13.
Okay, yeah. And by the way, there's an edit right there in the video that I had. But, right, I'm going to... That's just it. That's the point I was just making. I mean, he says he's taking away a vote from Donald Trump, but he's not giving it to someone who can defeat Donald Trump. By just writing in a random name, that's a waste of that vote. If John Bolton is so concerned, if John Bolton is so concerned about Donald Trump becoming president, what you want to do is vote for someone who can defeat Donald Trump. There's a whole logic to the process of voting, especially in a two-party system, that I think a lot of people miss out on. And John Bolton's just lying to himself.
It's like getting handed your ballot and voting present.
Yeah, right, right.
15 minutes by yourself, which is a pretty, I think, significant commitment on the part of this network to hear your views. So in the minority or not, there's an interest in understanding how people who see the world the way you do are looking at their choices in the election. And what I'm just trying to square is the urgency and the fervor of your warnings and what you say you're going to do. And again, voting can be private, so I appreciate you disclosing what you're going to do in the first place. But how do you look at maligning and saying you're maligning the press simply so that no one believes what they see or hear? They only believe, as Trump said, what he tells them to believe. How do you align him wanting to end the American tradition of a peaceful transfer of power? How can you say that those aren't autocratic tools from the toolkit?
Well, if he could get away with it.
He did.
He's no longer president. He failed to steal the election.
Well, he plans to do it again. He's having an
election. That's such a black and white, ridiculous way to describe what happened. What he did
and
is
this
he,
guy was like our defense. Like he was, I mean, on the National Defense Council.
Yeah.
And when he's actually called upon to defend democracy against tyranny, he's like, I'm going to vote present.
He was the UN ambassador under George W. Bush, for God's sake.
He would rather make a point than actually defend our country from an autocratic takeover. Yeah. That's what, like...
Donald Trump didn't succeed in overthrowing the election, but he tried damn hard to do it. And what he did, effect, is...
Not because he stopped trying.
Yeah, well, what he did is he right. normalized that process. Because now the vast majority of Republicans believe that all of that happened between the November 3rd election and January 6th, that all was fine now. Because they now believe, the Republicans do, by supermajority margins, that Joe Biden stole that election. That's the result of this. It was the end of the peaceful transfer of power, something that we have revered, something that we hope to export to other nations. We ruined our own reputation by doing that, by Donald Trump doing that.
Keep me out of this.
I know.
To participate.
But I mean,
unless you have a tapeworm or a mouse in your pocket.
Yeah, you're
I'm
right.
I'm not in on this one.
Right, right. But I mean, in a sense, it's the United States that has been deprived of this, and so that's the example that we've set for the rest of the world. And we've set that same example for our posterity as well here in the United States. You know, if it happens again, well, you know what? Donald Trump already did it once. So, I mean, how bad could it possibly be? It's that sort of thing. So, God damn it, John Bolton knows the dangers of Donald Trump, and he is so, while at the same time saying that he's going to vote against Donald Trump, he is absolutely normalizing Donald Trump and Trumpism and tyranny and, you know, the would-be Donald Trump dictatorship. That's exactly what this is. Okay, we got 30 more seconds of this clip, so let's listen to it.
He couldn't steal the election when he was sitting in the Oval Office. I think he's less likely to be able to do it.
But that's only because there were people around him who didn't let him. And your telling is that none of those people would be there. I appreciate that you're even here. You don't have to be here.
Okay, if he becomes president again,
And this is what John Bolton doesn't seem to understand, at least. I think he does on some level. He's just being disingenuous. But what he doesn't understand, if Donald Trump becomes president again, he will not leave office. It's not a matter of Donald Trump stealing this upcoming election necessarily. It's about what Donald Trump will do in office, how Donald Trump will remain in office, how Donald Trump, through his 2020-2021 experiment in trying to overthrow the election, will now do it in a more effective way next time around. He'll figure out some way to stay in office for another term and maybe another term after that, depending on his health. You know, that's the danger of this. It's not Donald Trump engaging in another January 6th from the Oval Office, because he's not in the Oval Office right now. It's Donald Trump going to the Oval Office, doing horrendous things for 4 years, and then refusing to leave at the end of those 4 years. If Donald Trump is back in the White House, Donald Trump will be in the White House until he's removed after he is dead by natural causes. Those are the stakes that we're talking about in all of this, that John Bolton completely is sidestepping and downplaying and normalizing. But I'm glad that Nicole Wallace let him have it a little bit there. So, okay, we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, Jesse Waters. Jesse Waters is an insufferable dick. The latest example of that. If you have ever worked at McDonald's, if you're struggling to make ends meet with, your two-job, three-job household, stick around. This is the guy who's the, like, flagship show on Fox News Channel, the 8 o'clock host in that Bill O'Reilly slot. Okay, we're going to take a short break. Back with more show right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed.
Is your memory really so addled that you can't remember seeing people being pepper sprayed so that Donald Trump could whip out a Bible and he could stand in front of that church and hold it up upside down for some fundamentalist MAGA base to see? This is a madman who was a mad president who literally told you that a pandemic that brought our economy to a screeching halt was a hoax, and told you to take a lupus drug that actually caused a run on the lupus drug to the point where people who had lupus couldn't get their medication. Don't you get that this man literally is the worst thing that ever happened to our economy, the worst thing that ever happened to our health? A million Americans died? This is the sicko that you're defending here. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Brand new music from Novelist Me and a song called Open Hearts for Open Parks. That's the name of the track.
Yeah.
Half of that title is in parentheses, just letting you know. Got a link in the description, of course, to download this amazing new track from Novelist Me. And if you're on Patreon, you know where to look. If you're not on Patreon, what the hell is wrong with you? Also, just go to bobseska.com, click the link for this episode, 411-24. Scroll down and you can find it. Get into your record collection now, huh? Also, bobseska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. So, breaking news, Jesse Waters is an insufferable asshole. He was on this podcast that I've seen quite a few MAGA Republicans on recently, where it looks like there's like lockers behind them. I don't know. Jody, have you seen these clips from this podcast?
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I don't know what the theme.
I think that's a porn set, isn't it?
I think
I've
so.
I've seen that movie.
It just, it looks like there's.
Is there a shower with a lot of heads and.
Yeah. I don't know. It looks like it's in a locker room for some reason. It's just the weirdest setting for a podcast, but it
so
is.
So fucking gay.
Yeah. I saw, I think I saw Carrie Lake on this show one time. I saw Megyn Kelly.
How was her filter, though? Yeah. How was her filter?
It was not good. Like, she's got that filter that makes her look like she's got cirrhosis. I don't know what the deal is, but when she normally does those videos.
I think she's borrowing her bronzer from the from President Trump and the Russian foreign minister. God, I can never remember his name.
Oh, Lavrov, Kislyak?
Lavrov. Yeah. Sergey Lavrov, yeah.
God damn it. I can produce those names way too easily. I don't know why.
Yeah, but, you can. That's weird.
Yeah. But
Carrie Lake, Action 11 News.
Let's listen to, on the same show, Jesse Waters appeared, and he was talking about, he was asked about people working at McDonald's and what that means for their salary, and oh,
why is it so important to them? That's just, what I don't get. It's like, why are they staying awake at night obsessing about what people make to flip burgers?
Yeah, that's just it. Donald Trump and people like Jesse Waters, what they're doing is they're constantly fishing for nothing. And then turning that nothing into something that their audience should be outraged about. That's like Donald Trump talking about the faucets and the showers and the dishwashers not producing any water. And you got to flush 12 times or whatever, you know. And that's like, he's just decided, okay, we're going to talk about water pressure. I'm going to make everyone who listens to me completely outraged about the fucking water pressure. We're going to get a bunch of people to vote for me because I'm completely pissed off about water pressure. For some reason, which isn't even a thing. Yeah. So here's Jesse Waters outraged by how much people are making at McDonald's.
If you're making $20 an hour to work at a fast food restaurant, right? Is that six figures? Are you making six?
No.
Not even close. Let me do the math right now.
All those shifts are part-time, dude.
You're gonna be $800 a week, you asshole.
Yeah.
If you get full-time pay.
Right. Right.
And most people do not.
And yes, most people, when they work those,
like,
it's
4 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they're not making the $800 a week, and that's pre-tax money.
Yes.
By the by, you fucking piece of shit.
Well, not only can he not do math on this, but he flubs the math on a second question as well. So here we go.
If you're making $20 an hour to work at a fast food restaurant, right? Is that six figures? Are you
no,
making
it's not. No? No.
40, 40 grand.
No.
50 is just 2x it and add a few zeros.
Yep. Okay, so
40k a year.
Okay,
full time.
40k a year. Yeah. So, and then if your husband or wife is also there, you're making $100,000 as a family.
Sure. No.
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 No. No. No. That's also incorrect.
That's not what 40 plus 40 is, Jesse.
No, 40 plus 40 is 80.
You fucking dumbass.
That'd be 20,000.
And for a two income household, that's not a lot of money.
No, absolutely not. And it's before, as you said, it's before taxes.
Right.
So he tries to go to six figures, and then when he's debunked on that, he goes,
again,
well, I mean, like,
to the 100,000 layup on the sneaky.
It's
like,
low mid.
Figures.
It's no, barely it's, mid four. It's barely mid fives.
I'm going to take 40 and double it and say that, yes, the husband and wife team that works at McDonald's is making, what are, he says $100,000, and it's $80,000 before taxes, and so fucking rare. Oh, God, this fucking asshole. But this isn't even necessarily the worst part of this yet. But
were they complaining about the fact that California just upped the minimum wage for fast food workers?
That could be it. That could be it. How dare
because
they?
We did. We just upped the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour. Mm. It's $18 an hour for other folks.
Yeah.
And then we have to raise that because our minimum wage should be closer to 30.
Right.
McDonald's can afford it, and it's just a few franchisees that were upset in California. Most of them were like, "No, I can afford it." You know.
Of course they can. McDonald's is a hugely successful series of franchises. I mean, it's like, it's one of the biggest corporations in the world.
And if I could afford to own a McDonald's franchise, I wouldn't have to get up at stupid insane o'clock.
Right. It gets worse, by the way.
Both working at McDonald's?
80 yes. grand. 80 grand.
That is, okay, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Why?
Because
why?
That job...
It's crazy that they're making close to $100,000 of two people.
Because
work.
They need to eat and, you know, yeah. pay their rent.
It's a living wage is just absolutely insane. I mean,
insane.
If you're a two-income household and you're working full-time at McDonald's, how dare you want to actually be able to pay your rent and your bills? And, you know, have something for your kids and save for college and whatever else stupid people do with their stupid, stupid money, their ridiculous incomes. I can't even.
You'll never be able to afford a house if you don't stop eating.
Yeah, right. I wonder how much Jesse Waters is making to say stupid shit.
I'm sure.
Yeah, on Fox News Channel every day.
Yeah.
Probably a lot. I mean, he's on two shows.
Really, I mean, you would talk about like possibly the most overpaid person on the planet.
No kidding.
It's just, I mean, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I remember
he's making several million dollars a year.
Shit.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah. You know,
I'm sure like, he's making several million dollars a year.
Easily.
He doesn't have to work 52 weeks a year,
right?
Or 50 weeks for that matter. He works probably 35, 40 weeks tops a year because he can take time off.
Yeah, and all he has to do is read what's on the prompter. Most
right.
of what
he's
says.
He's not even producing his fucking show. He's yeah. not doing.
I mean, he's probably getting all kinds of talking points from his writers, from the Fox News brain room or whatever they call it. All right. I think this is almost over, so let's hear the
rest.
It's
the brain worm room.
Yeah.
You said that, and I once again went.
So it's inflating the entire, you know, labor sector.
And the Happy Meal.
And the Happy Meal.
Unhappy, very unhappy.
Which I'm very unhappy about. But
okay, as if any of them go to fucking McDonald's. And A, CEOs keep getting their pay raised,
mm-hmm.
and prices are affected by that on occasion.
Yeah.
But when a worker who's making the CEO that money wants to, I don't know, put a roof over his or her head,
mm-hmm.
That's going
to
raise prices.
Send the kid to college?
That's going to raise prices. No, I don't think so.
Because
not there was this one CEO that lowered his pay so that he could pay everybody $80,000 a year. I'm like, like that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous that anyone be able to pay their bills on a McDonald's salary.
I hear those guys talking, and I immediately go to that clip of a monkey washing a Siamese cat in a sink while like wacky sax players. It's watching, I don't know, like a bunch of village idiots try to beat a crocodile to death with a wiffle bat. It's just
the crazy.
It's just like these guys trying to think as a group is just.
The craziest thing about this is the whole MAGA movement is positioning itself as the movement of the working man. And yet, this is what they say about the working man. Like, it's ridiculous if you make $80,000 a year as a household working at McDonald's. That's just insane. How dare you do that?
The median income for Trump voters in 2016 was $70,000 a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to hear about the fucking economic anxiety and you're the party of the working man. You're the party of the, like, real estate developer and the commercial contractor and the, you know.
Of course. It's the big lie. I mean, that's the real big lie, is that the Republican Party is all in for
shit about
middle class. And, yeah, they don't care. Lower class, lower income. Not lower class. Lower income people.
If they do think about those people at all, it is ways to take more things away from them and punish them for being poor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fuck you, Jesse Waters. And with your insufferable smirking face. Ugh.
I think they've Botoxed it in place. Go look at recent pictures of him. He's starting to get kind of a stretched look.
Really? I never noticed that.
Too many injections, I think.
Yeah.
Like, too much Botox. It starts to, like, I mean, I don't know.
He's just a troll. You know those drawings that they have of trolls that you see all over the place? It's like the almost like squiggly line drawing of a guy's face kind of smirking with the bulgy eyes. That's what Donald Trump, and that's what Jesse Waters looks like. Also what Donald Trump looks like, but Jesse
and
Waters
yet
too.
Another itchy dick. But see, like, even Jesse Waters knows that he's like a beta dick. Like, he was Bill O'Reilly's bitch, right. You know, and he only got that job because there was no one else that Fox News could find who could be safely placed on television without instilling more lawsuits. You know, I mean, like, well, I guess it's Jesse.
Right, right.
I mean, that's the only way he has that prime, that primetime slot. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's so popular, evidently, that he gets two shows on that network. He's the host of The Five. You know what time that? What time does The Five come on?
I want to say it's day
five. Oh, five.
Maybe.
I get it.
That makes sense. And then he's got the 8 p.m. show after that. Because isn't Gutfeld on The Five? And
yeah.
Jessica Tarlov, bless her.
Dana Perino. Yeah. Chuck Todd.
And, Chuck Todd. And Janine, I have been drinking since I got up, Piro.
Yes. She Skypes in from a box of wine. This is like living inside the box of wine.
No, she lives in a can of wine at this point.
Right. Oh, by the way, enjoy Rikers Island, Alan Weisselberg. He reports back to prison after pleading
Mazel
guilty.
Tov.
To
I'd rather go to a federal prison than fucking Rikers.
Right.
Perjury. Though, it's like Manafort, like double lying, you know, telling supposedly cooperating with the feds and continuing to lie to them. It's just like.
Okay, Shadow Docket coming up next. Patreon.
Have a nice weekend, folks.
Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. You never know what's going to happen. So you want to go sign up. Stick around. Keep listening. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.